Blog Talk Radio.
Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes, all the words past the margin, the whole of mic I'm throbbing, mechanical movement, understandable
smooth shit that murders. Good evening everybody to this first football Sunday without any football, and I know you're longing for some football action, so I'm trying to bring it to you live from the NFL Draft Bible Player Showcase Spotlight Show. Today, we're going to be speaking with one of our prospects. He's a big mammoth right tackle out of the University of Buffalo. He goes by the name of Gokhan Geo Ozcon. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you got that correct.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Well, you know, first football Sunday without any football. Geo, what is on your schedule when you don't have any football to watch?
Cleaning up the driveway. That's all we had to do after the storm hit. So it's kind of nice to just relax, but even the first Sunday is always the roughest after the football season is done.
Because, first of all, there's not a damn thing to watch. That's the problem. So even if you're sitting up at home, there's nothing much you can do but get on Facebook.
Exactly. Just been on the computer all day and just doing a whole lot of clicking.
Or as you like to go, you like to be on Twitter. People, you know, I usually don't promote people's Twitter handles, but you have to follow this dude because he goes by the name of Straight Ignorant. Not straight ignorant.
Not a lot of people pick that up, but I'm glad you got that.
it's straight ignorant. Which you'll get a lot of information about how many times he takes a dump a day and how much he likes to tell people about how much he farts.
And I mean, you gotta have some kind of fun with it.
right. Because I went through the Twitter page and I was like, all right, so the only thing I need to know about him is that when he's going to run a good 40 time and have a hell of a day at the combine, if he takes that morning poop.
That's all it is. You got to get out the system. You got to get light on the feet. One way to do it.
All right, man. Well, let's start this off. Tell us about yourself, because not a lot of people know about the University of Buffalo. Just talk about what division you guys are in, some of the competition you played against, and why you chose to go there.
One thing I'll tell you about Buffalo, you don't hear about it too often, but when you do hear about it, it hits you. It's a place that you have to experience it firsthand, and I love this city. Well, first and foremost, I've grown to love it. I'm from New York City myself, but it's a place that I got to visit, and it hit me right away that this is the place that I wanted to be at coming out of high school to coming to college. Great university. It's what I wanted as a student athlete, student first. I had a great business program. I just finished up my finance degree. And athletics is just coming along. It's a growing program, and it's gotten better and better every year. So that being said, a little bit about myself, I was born in Turkey, I moved to Brooklyn when I was 6 years old, didn't know what American football was or how to even put on my pads when I started playing football in 10th grade. So fast forward from 10th grade to now, and I'm embarking on a journey to try to play for the NFL and try to go to the next level.
Now, what were you playing before you started doing football? Because you didn't start until the 10th grade.
In middle school, I played a little bit of basketball here and there. We started going to the park. And I didn't even get into football until 10th grade. Besides that, I just wanted to play basketball initially. I always thought I was going to be a basketball player until I realized football was my calling.
Right. And, you know, the reason I'm glad to talk to Gio because, one thing we have in common is that, we're both New York products. And as Gio's going to find out, hopefully once you get into an NFL locker room, that it is a lonely place to be when you're from New York, because not a lot of guys from New York are in the NFL because schools don't come to New York to recruit.
No, it's very tough to get New York products. Most of the guys that I play with, a lot of them are from Ohio or down south, a lot of Texas guys, a lot of Florida guys, Midwest guys also, and just down south. But it's untapped territory over here, but it's still up and coming.
Now, because you played at Bishop 4, correct?
Yes, sir.
So, and again, you know, Gio and I, we both played in the CHSFL, which is Catholic High School Football League. Your year coming out, who else was like the other big name coming out of the Catholic High School Football League? I played at Christ the King, so we're only known for basketball. Our football team really didn't start catching on until later. But yeah, who were the other prospects that were like going to a Division I school when you were coming out?
The guy that had all the hype coming out was Scott Vallone. He ended up going to Rutgers. His big story was with Coach Schiano and Coach Schiano coming to watch his game, landing with the helicopter and all that kind of stuff. So he had
get out of here in a helicopter.
Yeah, Coach Schiano came and to a game and landed with the helicopter to watch his game or something like that. I thought that was really cool. I mean you got to give credit to the guy. He's a great athlete,
right.
A great football player. So. He had a lot of buzz coming out of the CHSFL.
Where do you go to school?
St. Anthony's out in Long Island.
St. Anthony's always gets all the credit, I swear, because like even when I was coming up, it was always all about St. Anthony's.
Yeah, they breed them over there. It's, like I said, New York's untapped territory, so they got something going on over there.
You know what's more about New York? I think it's more New York City because – I think colleges, you know, they do a lot of scouting in Long Island because Long Island does have talent. But it's like the inner city, like you go to Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, Bronx. You know, they don't go into those places much often, only to find basketball players.
Well, the way I've always seen it, when we would go to the HSPD, the High School Player Development,
right.
it's a lot of raw talent. Like you see a lot of guys that have great athleticism, but it. Like myself, like my coaches, when I got recruited, they saw me as just raw talent, something
right.
that they developed, and I was a project for them. And come to this day, it paid off.
And what other places were you looking at besides Boston College coming out? I'm sorry, I'm Boston College. I'm sorry, University of Buffalo. My bad. Yeah, what other colleges were looking at you?
Junior year, I was really big into University of Virginia. Things fell apart there, and after that happened, I promised myself I just want to get to one D1A school and just prove to whoever didn't pursue after me that it was their loss. But you know what? I'm happy with where like University of Buffalo. So I think it was the best decision I've ever made coming out of high school.
All right, everybody, if you just joined us, we're talking to Gokhan Ozkan, the big right tackle out of University of Buffalo. So I want to ask you this question. Let's talk a little bit about you being from Turkey. How often only thing I know about Turkey is that is there any truth to the Taken movies?
I don't think there's a lot of kidnappings going on over there, I'll tell you that much. But as you saw from those movies, it's a beautiful
right.
city, it's a beautiful country. But we came over here. My dad, we got the visa to come over here, and when we came, I was a little kid. I didn't even know what was going on.
Right.
You could have told me we were going to a city over, and I wouldn't have known the difference.
Right.
And we got here. It was just had to learn language. I got left back in first grade because I didn't know English.
Wow.
Yeah. After that, just grew up in a one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn with me and my brother shared a room. Our parents' bedroom was in the living room, too. So just very close quarters. It brought us and kept us together, which is to this day, I love it. My mom works in a hospital now. She's been busting a hump for years. My dad's a New York City taxi driver. And they break their backs to work every day, and they're such hardworking people. And my brother, he's the guy I've always looked up to, and he's the one that's always told me to keep it going. Be like, hey man, you got something good going here. Just keep going, and something great will happen out of it.
And one thing I want you to talk about, because I don't think enough players get enough praise for it, that you already graduated, and then you have your degree in finance, and you have the opportunity not only to eat NFL-wise, but you have the opportunity to eat through, you know, with your finance degree. And especially being in New York, you know, that's a plus because you're in the hub of, like, one of the financial capitals of, if not America, the world. So, you know, tell people about, you know, your finance degree, why you chose finance, and, you know, in any event, whatever happens through football, after football, what were you planning on doing with that degree in finance?
For the past 2 years, I've always had I've always worked out over the summers, and I stayed up here and worked out. I've had internships while I stayed up here and worked out. So I made sure that I built up a good resume for life after football, if that was the case. I didn't know because I don't know when life after football is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be sometime in the near future or 5-10 years down the road. So I thought, what better opportunity while I am still in college is to get these internships? Because even throughout high school, my parents and my high school coaches and even college coaches now, they always said, you're student first and athlete second. So the degree is the best gift you can give yourself.
And
giving myself that. I chose finance because I like working with numbers. It comes natural to me. It comes easy to me to see statistics and that kind of information and process it. So, so I thought, why not? Let's just go with it.
Plus, it's where all the money is. To be quite honest, like if there's any place that you're going to make money, it's definitely in the financial industry. So I think that's a brilliant move on your part.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, now we talked about your background. We're going to move on and talk a little bit about football. I want to know your mindset for the beginning of the season. You were able to do something that not a lot – you got an opportunity. Actually, Buffalo got an opportunity to do something that a lot of schools would love to do, play against one of the best teams in the country. So the end of your junior year, the schedule comes out for 2012. Georgia is the first game of the season. What's the off season like? Like, what is the off season preparing for that game? Because I think that might be like one of the biggest games of any player in that school's career, because you get to go against the top talent in the U.S. Well, not the top talent, but the top division in the SEC. So, what was like everything like leading up to that game?
As soon as the schedule came out, we all got hyped up because, I mean, playing between the hedges, it's something that is just phenomenal. It's a staple of college football. And to play that, we made sure every time we broke it down during the practice or during the workout, it was beat Georgia, compete hard, make sure we get after them and all that, and I'm just drilling that into our heads. And I think by the way we played, we got that message out, and I feel like they saw it. And even the fans saw it, because at one point in the game, their stands were just booing them, which it felt great for us because people didn't think that we were just – people thought we were just going to come and lay down. And
right.
That's the type of team Buffalo has here. There's a bunch of hard-nosed guys here, and that's something that I've always had in me, and that's how my teammates were, and that's how my offensive line is. It's just hard-nosed guys that just like to get after it. And to be able to go against guys like John Jenkins and Jarvis Jones, you know those are going to be top 10 picks right there. And to be able to match up with those guys to the best of my ability, I felt pretty confident with it. And it was exciting to see that, yeah, maybe I can compete at a high level. Maybe I can. And that's what I'm striving to do now.
All right, let's talk about, because that was going to be my next question, because like as a D lineman, because I played D line, and if you ever asked me in my career, like who was one of the best O linemen you ever played against? I'm telling you, I would honestly say no one, because I always like none of these O linemen could kick my ass. I could beat the hell out of all of them. So when you you line up against Jarvis Jones, he's, like you said, he's one of the most big, like the one. He's gonna be a top 10 pick. And I'm not saying you talk bad about the man, but honestly, like, what you thought he was gonna be, or you like, man, he's not all of that. He's not that guy.
You got to give credit to where credit's due. That he's quick off the ball. He moves well. You really can't talk bad about the man. Like he does what he needs to do. He competes hard and he plays hard. And it was great to go against him. You really can't knock a man that works as hard as he.
So did you feel he kicked his ass, or like when he went home? Do you think like, oh yeah, he knows who my name is?
I'll tell you what. I know I could say at the end of the game when I shook his hand, there was respect between mutual respect between both of us.
Right.
It wasn't like, all right, chump, I'll see you later. There's none of that going on.
Right. That's awesome, man. Because I mean, I think that's one thing anybody in any position would love to do: go against one of the top players in the nation at least once in your career, just to see, you know, how you feel of going against that guy. And I think at those games like that builds your confidence.
Oh, definitely, and that did give us great momentum to go into the season and just fight and work very, very hard. And then that's just, like I said, just reiterating that, just going and getting after it and being like, you know what, let's just not give up. Let's just not surrender the rest of the season or get down on ourselves. We can compete and we can do better.
Mm-hmm. Well, quickly, tell me about one guy, because I watched the Georgia game, and one thing that popped off the screen was Brandon Oliver, man. That's a bad dude right there. Brandon Oliver, that's a bad dude right there. So tell me how it is, like, you know, blocking for Brandon, because that dude can ball.
I'll tell you, Brandon's the type of running back that you always want behind you. He runs hard. He sets up the blocks really well. He's intelligent as could be. He, like I said, prototypical running back that you want behind you. That he makes you better, and you make him better.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a hard worker that you see his effort, and you don't want to give up, and you don't want to be anything short of that.
Like I said, that was a good dude. And I think like he has another year coming back, man. I think he's gonna be somebody that. You know, scouts are definitely going to be checking out for next season. And now we're talking about scouts. Right. So let's move on to the next thing. You know, I want to talk more about the combine. Like, that's why we're supposed to be here. I want to talk about, like, how you're prepping for the combine. You know, what is the thing that you think you need to work on more? Because being 6'7", 300 to 320, are you focusing on getting heavier? Are you I know the one thing that I would say, like, just looking at the film, and I heard the same thing was, you know, you got to get lower. Because I'm 6'5", and every scout coming out said, man, you got to play lower. So, you know, what is one thing technically that you've been working on to improve?
Where I'm working out right now is Absolute Performance in Buffalo. And the person that's training me is Paul Childress and Tom Cordino. You can look up Paul Childress. He has thrown up big weights in competitions for squatting and everything. So that man's a mastermind when it comes to it. And just working on my hip strength with him has been really helping me a lot. So that will help me to play lower, to run lower, and just work with that. Drill-wise, I think everything's coming along great. I think I'll be able to put up some impressive numbers come March 5th of Pro Day. And I think I'll be able to show people that, hey, he's been improving and he's been working towards his flaws so that he can perform and can play in the next level.
So what are your goals to reach during, to reach a certain of these drills? I'm going to throw some drills out, you know, just tell me what your goals for the your number goals are going to be for them. Your three-cone time, what are you looking?
I based everything off how Matt Khalil ran his numbers. Just saw what he did. Saw what he did in his combine and all the numbers that he put up. I try to base everything off that because he a phenomenal athlete, just moves really well. I know he's a little lighter than I am, but.
Right, because you're, like, physically, like, well, physically, who do you kind of compare yourself to? Because, like, you know, you guys are kind of, like, two different kind of athletes.
Yeah, he's very, he's definitely a little more loose than I am. I would say the guy I always watch is the hometown guy. Is I watch David Deal a lot. He's the right tackle for the Giants, and he does well in playing. So I've always just watched him.
Because when I was looking at you, the person that came to mind, I was thinking more like a Jared Gaither kind of player, because you guys are the same size.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6'7", 320. Speaking of that, like, you know, being O-line, like, are you trying to stay 320, or are you trying to lean out for the combine? Because as you get there, you know, you'll definitely put on weight, because, you know, I showed up at about 285 to camp. By the end of the season, I topped that at 320. So is your weight to you that important, or you're looking like, you know, let me just lean out, get down to maybe about 300 and just put some good numbers up, or you're like, you know, I'm just going to stick to 320 and just do what I can at that weight?
I feel comfortable at 320. I've clocked in some pretty good numbers at this weight, and I feel confident being a little less than a month away from my pro day.
And when is your pro day?
March 5th.
March 5th. It's going to be at Buffalo, or are you going to do the regional?
It'll be at the Bills indoor facility, so it will be in Buffalo.
All right. Okay. And what are you looking to get in 225? Now, I know you should be a lot stronger than Matt Khalil.
I think he got around 25 to 30 on his.
Mm-hmm.
So around there, I definitely feel confident enough to be able to do, put up at least 25.
Isn't it so much tougher having long arms? Because that was, like, my big problem with the 225 was that my arms are so long. Like, when I got to 25, like, I was topped out. And I remember going to the pro days and guys who had arms that didn't go past their hips. You know, they had those short arms and wide chest. They were able to put it up, like, 35, 40 times. So, like, how has your training been with the bench? Have you found that you had some problems just getting a lot of reps because of the arm length? Or you haven't had a problem and you think you've been able to bust out 30 or more?
I mean, it is a disadvantage having long arms, but it's not something that you could fix in a matter of a month or two. It's been
right. It's
been constant working out in the weight room throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those things, like, the hard work throughout my college career will show because you can't really cheat the drill.
Exactly. I mean, you know what? You can cheat the drill, and I've seen some amazing things, I'm telling you. When you get to the pro day, you're going to see some of the wildest techniques and things dudes had to pull out the last second to do anything. So, and you're going to spend a lot of your time looking at the next man like, what is he thinking? It's going to be a good day. And, I mean, a good part about it, it'll loosen you up when you get there because you're going to be all about this. But if you see somebody go ahead of you and you see something like that, man, it'll definitely just, like, it'll take all the jitters away.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I feel very confident with the training I have at Absolute Performance. So, I know coming into it, it'll be a fun experience. It'll be something that's going to get people's eyes open to my abilities.
Right. Now, have you heard anything, like, talking to your agent about how the scouts feel about you? Have you heard any feedback from any of the scouts who looked at you so far?
My agent, John Hernandez, that man is a genius. He works hard, and he's one of the hardest working people I've met recently. And he's been providing some pretty good feedback with it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say any of it, but good things have been coming my way, and kudos to him because he works hard. He's been promoting me really well. And I meet him halfway.
What part of your game, like, overall game, have the scouts liked the best? Because I mean, when I would talk to my agent, he was straight up saying, hey, they like your size, they like your speed, they like your athleticism, but, yeah, you got to work on your lower body strength. So I kind of already knew going into camps and training camp and my rookie camps, like, what I need to improve on, where I need to work before I go in. So, you know, what kind of information has he given you of the scouts and told him, like, hey, you know, this is what we like about Gio, and this is why we're looking at him. Have you heard anything like that?
No, I haven't heard anything along those lines, and I don't want to give any false information. So,
right. Okay. Well, Gio, as we're starting to wrap up, we got 5 minutes left. Again, everybody, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to GoCon Ozcon from University of Buffalo, their mammoth right tackle. Let's talk about some of the things you enjoy. It seems like you like wrestling.
Oh yeah, I mean WrestleMania is coming into New York City soon. One of my best friends, Dave, he's got me into it again. I haven't watched it since middle school, but recently it's been with a lot of downtime flipping through channels. It's been entertaining to watch again.
Because like I was the same way, and the only reason I even started thinking about watching wrestling because I have Netflix, and I went and looked up on that NWO documentary. If you have not seen it yet, you got to see it. It talks about the beginning of the NWO and how it that one and the Rock one is so damn good.
I mean, I'll probably end up watching the Rock one. I mean, he's an amazing athlete.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, it talks about him and. Like, well, for me, the NWO one was the best because, like, that was my thing. Like, Scott Hall, like, when he was Razor Ramon, that was my wrestler. My favorite wrestler was Buff Bagwell on NWO. Because, to me, he had the Press Celebration dance. So that's why I rock with Buff Bagwell. So, like, who is your wrestler now? Is it still The Rock?
Who's my favorite who?
Wrestler right now.
There's a few out there. Not a lot of people know him just because he's obnoxious and just is a goofy dancer. But Brodus Clay. Brodus Clay is one of the funnier dudes in wrestling right now.
That's what I like about it. It's like I don't care about the way it's like the personality they have, which I like, and that's why I rock with Buff Bagwell and Razor Ramon, Scott Hall. So I'm gonna throw this question to you. Tell me how you feel about Trish Stratus, because that seems to be one of the people you really enjoy watching.
Say that again.
How much do you like Trish Stratus?
Oh, she's been. She is amazing.
Hey, please, man, like anybody, please go on this man's Twitter page and read what he wrote about Trish Stratus. You might delete it before you get on there, but when I read that comment under the picture of her, I was like, this dude is a damn fool.
I mean, any man would have the same output as I would with the woman that beautiful.
I'm feeling you now. I never heard of Trish Stratus until I saw that picture, and I was like, I slightly agree with the comment. It was slightly hashtag get weird, but I condone the ignorance.
I mean, I've never taken Twitter seriously, so I definitely have to.
You know what? I did it until I realized it gets people fired. Because some people like don't have. You know, when you get to a certain level of just notoriety, you do have to start thinking about it because, like, you know, let's just say you do get into, like, even in finance, you work for the J.P. Morgan, so they do background checks. Like, you remember the NFL works with the FBI. Like, Steve Yarnell is, like, the director of security for the Jets. He used to work for the FBI. Like, they do legit background checks. They'll find out stuff about you that that your parents don't know. So, like, if anything comes up wild, you know, they'll bring it up in those interviews, and that's why, you know, that stuff is so dangerous. But now your Twitter feed is pretty entertaining. So, well, we got a minute left, and I kind of want to wrap this up. So, Gio, you got any parting words for everybody out there?
It's just an humbling experience to be able to do this now, to go from not knowing what football is to be able to knock on the door and be like, hey, give me a shot over here and see what I could do for the organization. So just stay humble with everything.
Hey, man. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. I appreciate you taking time to talk with us. Everybody, again, this has been the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Showcase show. So we have my man GoCon Gio Ozcon today. From the University of Buffalo. I hope you enjoyed the show. and checking us out next time. Everybody, have a beautiful evening.
The world is yours.
Gio, still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man, appreciate it, man. That was great, man. Thanks for the energy. Yeah, you did really well, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, man, listen. If I can give you any advice going into the, like, these camps, combines, or anything,
yeah.
Make sure that you don't take a back seat to anybody. And when I say that is, like when your combine comes up and you do position drills,
yeah.
If they don't have it set up where you're numbered to go, you make sure you get to the front of the line. I don't care who the fuck is there. I don't care if they have the top player from Syracuse there or whatever. You get to the front. And somebody tries like, nah, I'm here, man. I'm like, nope. I mean, you're bigger than them. Step in front. Because that stuff stands out.
Yeah,
and that's the best advice I give to you when you talk to the coaches. You know, be honest. Tell them about when they start asking about just listen to whatever they tell you. Listen, because that helped me. I went to Fordham, man. Like I didn't go to Fordham with any intentions of playing in the NFL at all. And when I went to camp, my first day, at camp, I knew like. I looked at it differently. I went in there and was like, yo, this is every motherfucker that stole my scholarship. I owe $50,000 in student loans because everybody thought these guys were better than me. So I went in there with that attitude, like, I'm here to fight everybody. I don't care what school they went to.
Mm-hmm.
So, coach called me into the office. He was like, hey, you know what, man, listen. I don't know what you learned at Fordham, but, you didn't learn shit. But, like, the thing that got you, on this team is the fact that you listened and when we coached you, you did everything we said. So make sure you keep that in mind. Whatever they tell you, you got to go there with an open head because some coaches believe, like, hey, even though he went to the University of Buffalo and there might be a guy who went to Florida State in that same camp with you, they look at it like these guys are all NFL prospects. They have no school. That's why we have them here because we think they're capable of playing in the NFL because they wouldn't bring you there if they didn't think so. So make sure any adjustments they make, don't take too long to make it. If they say, hey, listen, Gio, I want your hand placement here, boom, change it right away. Because those are the guys they're going to look at. Out of everything, if you don't have, you might be slower, you might not be as strong, but if they say this guy takes direction well and he changes his shit as soon as we say it, you'll be on the team in a heartbeat. Trust me.
I got you. It's good to get here some inside advice on all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, man. So, I think you have a huge opportunity just with your size, man. Most coaches, they don't find there's not that many guys who 6'7", 320 running around. So, that's the first thing I look at you. Make sure you just, you take care of that three cone and short shuttle. Because those are only, for you to be honest, those are only two drills that are going to matter. The short shuttle, the three cone, and the and your 10-yard and 20-yard split. Like, your 40 ain't going to mean shit to them.
I ran last week on my shuttle, I ran a 4.8, and there's still some technique errors to fix on it.
Right.
I'm looking right here. Matt Khalil's numbers are 4.65.
Right.
I mean, I think I'm doing well with the shuttle. The three cone drill. I ran a 7.6 with that. 7.7, and I think I'm on par with that stuff, and I'm not even worried about the bench press either.
Right.
So I think I'll put up some impressive numbers with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting that opportunity, and I know.
Right.
I know. Even where I'm from, being from my background, like that kind of stuff, I'm not gonna take a backseat. Like I've been on like a shit list for so long, like not having anything handed to me, I might as well just go get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. All right. That's good to hear. And because I always want to make sure I tell guys that because sometimes everybody's like, all right, since this guy's like the most popular player here, I'm sure the coaches want him to go first. Please have that mindset, but, take that shit away from him. Because, that stands out. Like, take that shit away from him. And if he says something, be like, man, fuck you. Straight up. Like, man, fuck you.
Believe me, I've been in fights and, during practice and all that kind of stuff when someone tried to step to me the wrong way and everything. So, it's not, like, telling someone back up, like, this is my spot, man, I'm not going to have a problem with that. Like,
right.
It's how often do you get an opportunity like this is my perspective. So
right.
Why not going to be like, it's me against the world with this.
Right. And, yeah, and like, you know, just keep that attitude through. Like, even when you get into, like, the regular camp, man, keep that same attitude. Because, seriously, if you're fighting, if you and a vet get into a brawl in practice,
yeah,
that means you're doing something right. And because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I had that happen twice to me because I was just going too hard. And it was kind of weird because in college I was an awful practice player. But like you said, you know, when I was there, I was like, man, this is a great opportunity. These dudes is already paid because, like, you know, they were, and I'm telling you, these vets will come up to you, like, listen, man, you know, you can just tone it down a little bit, man. You know, you don't have to go so hard this time. You just tone it down. They'll set you up like that, and your ass will be on the team. And, like, and I had to tell, like, Rob Royal, he was the tight end at the time because he did that show. But listen, motherfucker, you already got a job. You already got your contract.
Yeah.
I said, if I get cut, are you going to give me any of that money that you got? I was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to work with this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Well, I mean, listen, like I said, I think you got a great opportunity. And I do think you can make it. Like I said, just whatever they say, follow it. You got the size. And they're always going to bring you in because of that size. And all you have to do is show them that you can get low and bend those hips. Once they see that you can bend the hips, you're golden. Because, like, even with that short shuttle time, even if you don't run a fast time, but they're like, yo, he got down smooth. You could run an 8, but if you look like a smooth 8,
yeah,
they'll take the smooth 8 over something that just look herky-jerky. Like, you run it fast, but it looks like you're forcing it. Like, you know, you could tell when somebody's trying to run fast or then they just look fluid.
Mm-hmm.
If you look fluid doing it and run a slower time, they're like, well, you know what? Even though he did run slow, like, I like the way he bent. And he looked like it wasn't hard. It looked easy for him. So that's what you should be, like, that's what you think about. Focus on making it look easy.
I mean, I've been working on it, like, the whole hip strength and everything, just so I can stay low.
Right.
I know that's been, like, a flaw of mine, and I've worked around it and everything, but I do have to fix it. And working with the trainers I have now, they're phenomenal about that stuff. If you ever get a chance, look up Paul Childress. Like, this man used to have the world record for squatting. I think he squatted something like 1,200 pounds at one point.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you up there doing yoga on your off days too?
Excuse me?
They have you doing yoga on your off days too?
Just stretching out and just staying loose the whole time, like rolling out.
Okay.
Yeah, making sure you're not cramping up or anything.
All right, cool, man. Listen, I got to get out of here because I got shit to do this evening. But like I said, I appreciate everything tonight, man. And listen, if you ever have any questions or you're like, hey, listen, you know, this happened, or, you know, you go to a combine and something happened, anytime you got a question, man, feel free to ask. Because, like, you know, if I give any advice to help anybody else from New York get on, you know, I'm happy to do it. Because, like I said, it's not a lot of us there. It was fucked up in camp. Like, I got there. There was a dude named Clifton Smith, and he was on Long Island. And he was Syracuse. He's a big-time player. So we got the camp together. He ended up getting released. So it felt like, you know, it had two New York players in the locker room, and one got released for another one to come in. So, like, I swear to God, like, after the games, like, I went to Florida, so after games, so players go into the middle of the field and talk to each other. I couldn't talk to nobody because nobody played in the future league, and no one was from New York. Like, it wasn't lonely. Like, I had a great team and everything, but it's like, you know, there's not just enough players from New York that can even represent being there. So it doesn't look good for New York players.
No, I agree. I mean, there's only first round draft pick that I know that's from New York was the Brickishaw Ferguson. I don't know
right.
if I'll, like, because he came out of Virginia, didn't he?
Yep, came out of Virginia.
Yeah, because that was around the time when I was getting recruited by them and just all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, in the locker room, everyone talks about it. Like, all the Florida dudes and all the Texas dudes fight about what state is better. And
right.
it's kind of hard to talk about in New York, like, even if you're in your home state, like, a lot of the dudes are from that team, they all stick together and everything. So, obviously, it's going to be the same exact thing in the league.
Right.
But,
I don't know why. New York dudes are fuck-ups. So that's the problem. Because I can look through my all-star games and see how many players had a scholarship to Division I school and then got thrown out for either academics, fighting, stealing, or something stupid. Yeah. Like, if they fuck up everywhere they go, then they end up right back at Nassau Community College trying to get a second shot.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I've had some dudes that got recruited with my class that were from New York and that have been phenomenal athletes, but just didn't do the right thing when they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And come back to bite them.
Exactly. All right, man. Listen, you have a good night, man. And I'll probably reach out to you after more. If I'm still in the country, I'll reach out to you because I think I might be. I'm going to try to stick around at least for the combine, the regional combine at Jet Stadium.
I'm going to be at that regional combine.
Right. I'm going to try because if I'm still around, I'm going to try to book my flight for. I'm either going to Sweden or Germany. So like.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get the flight for after the combine, so I'll go there and then check it out and do some interviews, whatever. So I might see you there, but if not, I'll check it with you and see how it went.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you for everything and advice.
No problem, man. All right, man, have a good night.
Good night.